We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Grassroots Marketing on CannabisRadio.com continues. Powered by the Buzz CRM, we get it after all the frustration, endless cycles for hoping for a system that actually works. You want something steady. Hey, how about you want some new salespeople? Virtual salespeople that work. Make the phone calls. Send the texts. Send the emails. Do the work for you so all you got to do is just close. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be really special? Wouldn't that be very efficient and effective and really give you a chance to use a platform that's more intuitive, faster, smarter than ever? Let me introduce you to the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Sees your worth. It's a CRM that sees your worth. Streamlines your workflows. Gives you tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Over 500 marketing tools. Easy to integrate and put into all these various modules you can use to help give you what you need, get you out of those outdated platforms and all those multiple logins and passwords that you don't need. It's a redesign. Not just a redesign. It's a revolution. You need to go find out more about this, and we will be doing webinars soon. And I will be announcing it very soon on this program and our book business series when that's going to be happening. So when that does, be ready for it, because you're going to find out what you've been missing for a long time. And if you haven't bothered to do so, just go ahead and go to the website right now. Go to the website right now. Take a look at it while you're ready for our interview right now. TheBuzzCRM.com. Take a look for yourself. Trust me. Come on. You trust me for everything else on here. So trust me with this platform. You know I'm right. Okay. Leave it there. So on the program today, I want to go ahead and welcome my next guest. He brings a wealth of diverse horticultural experience spanning traditional agriculture like hydroponic vegetables and commercial crops into cannabis. His leadership is cultivation. Leadership in cultivation is key to developing genetics, implementing sustainable practices, and ensuring the consistency of and character of the cannabis offerings they offer through multiple states. But you're very familiar with this company, Ethos Cannabis. You might remember the CEO, Jabron Washington, has been hosting our Planting Seeds podcast series. I've also hosted him here on Blunt Business and Grassroots Party. Well, today I get to talk to their vice president of cultivation at Ethos Cannabis, Steve Garner. Steve, thanks for being on with me.
I really appreciate you having me.
I know there's a bit of a spiel to that, but I appreciate you being on. So, well, the most biggest things you have right now, you're based in Massachusetts right now as we were talking to you today, but you've also been very involved in where Ethos Cannabis is expanding the footprint and emphasizing quality and community integration. You have a new Lexington, Ohio dispensary and the focus on local brands like the historically rich Meigs County Grown. And you're helping to translate Ethos mission to tangible, high-quality products. So, first of all, talk to me about the consumer-centric vision that Ethos has and helping people live their best life through informed access to cannabis. And take me through what your cultivation strategy is when it comes to terpene profiles, cannabinoid development, overall therapeutic potential of the cannabis grown.
Yeah. A lot to unpack there, but I'll try to answer that one clearly. I think for us, patient first really comes down to, you know, especially from my point of view in the company, is product quality. I was really excited to join Ethos originally and be part of the vision here because, product quality was always first forward. I've got a long background in horticulture, but also a long background in cannabis. And I got into this to do it the right way and do it to create product that I would want to enjoy myself and the people that I kind of grew up with and came into this industry with. So, you know, a lot of what we do, we don't have a lot of restraints from a high level as a horticulturist and our VP of cultivation. We have autonomy to produce our product how I want. We don't get a lot of top-down direction, you know, obviously encouragement, but not necessarily dictation on quantity over quality or anything like that. So, you know, first, from a patient point of view, we really get to emphasize, you know, doing it the right way and the way that it's been done for a long time, but bringing that new technology into the cultivation of cannabis. Further down on the education front, as you know, we're partnered with Thomas Jefferson University, funding clinical research there in collaboration with a whole team of doctors, including Dr. Brooke Worcester, who works most closely with us. So, yeah, I think, you know, both funding white paper research that gets done through there, making sure we compile that on our websites, do our training with our dispensary staff and try to get that knowledge out, you know, both from having the product quality and then trying to compile that information, generate new real data on this plant and get that out to the front line so that, you know, that can get into the patient's ears or on the website where they get it. You know, I think it's a pretty consistent theme through our company and one we do try really hard at.
So the Ohio market is expected to be getting over $1 billion in sales revenue for the upcoming year. And really with Ohio being a new market that's been put in place, rollout, now Minnesota's not too far, also moving in and rolling out their own cannabis legalization and their own adult use. The areas underserved like Perry County, which is where New Lexington, Ohio is, and Zanesville is a familiar city that's in the same area. So people, if you want to have a little bit of a context of where it's located, what about any cultivation challenges or opportunities you have in the region? Are we doing mostly greenhouse? Are we doing outdoor? Give me the layout of what you're using from the climate and what you're doing within the space.
Yeah. In the three states that we operate cultivation facilities, we have kind of the three, what I'd call like the three common facility types. Pennsylvania is our largest. Run a fully sealed, Dutch glass Venlo greenhouse there. All the bells and whistles. So that one, you know, we've got the combination of LED light and the natural lights, but in a highly climate controlled situation. So that is our largest, I'd call that our flagship facility there. Massachusetts, that one we did from the ground up. So really got to put our fingerprint on that one. Massachusetts up here, I'm going to visit. This one, we took over operations in a, single tier warehouse. So LED lighting, single tier throughout and, kind of a slightly smaller, but, similar protocol, same light spectrum that we run, at least on the LEDs. But, that more old school single tier indoor. And then Ohio, because of the regulations in Ohio and how they calculated canopy, there is an incentive to go vertical. So we have two-tier LED flower rooms out there. So that was a whole, slightly different take to for us to get our heads around and how to operate that efficiently. But so we've kind of got one of what I'd call like the three common flavors at this point, aside from an outdoor hoop house type growth. So, really try to run as similar protocols as possible throughout those, have as consistent of a product state to state and genetics, but definitely some unique challenges, and you gotta kind of bend the protocols a little bit to see what works in those different environments and different height challenges, all that kind of stuff.
And you're managing over 150,000 square feet total on all these different areas that you're working on. It's a lot of ground to cover. Plus, in your background, before you joined Ethos, in the other areas you've worked in, you've also worked around the country when it comes to Georgia, when it comes to Colorado, when it comes to New York state. You've definitely had your role as to different climates, different areas to work from, whether it's very warm weather, colder, with what you have to work with. Is there anything you can tell me from the years that you've been in this working horticultural and just working in, whether it's hydroponics or cannabis or for vegetables, whatever it is, anything you've really taken away that really helps in the cannabis process in terms of finding the right, really just kind of tweaking what you need the cultivation to be?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think a couple of things stand out. One was the technology coming into it. So coming more from a, I had the black market, kind of closet basement experience for a long time. That didn't really expose me to the, more commercial tools and equipment available in the broader horticultural sense. So, especially in the hydroponic vegetable space, working with a number of Dutch suppliers, the Dutch vendors who were, at the time, I think the U.S. is caught up on the technology side, but certainly 10, 15 years ago, the technology more advanced over there. And knowing that, cannabis is a resilient plant, but it has pretty specific requirements if you want to do it right. So knowing, knowing here, I know the cannabis plant wants this. I've been in a lot of other crops, different climates, and I've seen what kind of technology, facilities, tools that people use to create that environment. We said, let's do something a little different, especially on the greenhouse side of things, which is really, I would say, my forte and more my passion, that style growing of how can we use the most bare bones structure, steal some ideas, even our air handlers that we use to cool and dehumidify and heat the greenhouse. A lot of that design came from a mentor of mine who was growing, 100 plus acres of orchids, and they were trying to do, keep it below 70 degrees to get an orchid flower set in Ohio in the middle of summer. So taking some of that technology and knowing where to look and who are the right vendors to work with, that was certainly a big leg up there. Knowing how to work with large teams and just, kind of managing a larger team and driving that efficiency certainly helped with the other crops and direction we went. And I lost my train of thought on my other one.
Well, I want to go ahead and move along. I'll go ahead and ask you real quick, because you mentioned earlier about Thomas Jefferson University and the association that Ethos Cannabis.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
As with, and I wanted to go and find out what it is from your end as head of cultivation, what you're able to go ahead and offer to students or to the practitioners, the academics, about exploring specific genetic expressions, growing techniques, understanding the health and wellness applications of cannabis. Is there anything you could tell me about what you do in terms of your end to offer to those in the university end in terms of education?
Yeah. I haven't had a whole lot of educational opportunities at this point. I'd say the main interaction, although, certainly would love for us to get to that point. But yeah, I'd say the main interactions at this point are, especially as we get into the minor cannabinoids, terpenes, if Dr. Worcester on their team there, they need a you know, for a potential study, they want to look at pain, they might need some, you know, appetite suppression, something like that. They're going to come to me and to look into our genetic vault and say, what do we have that might be a good source of, you know, we need CBGA rich. Okay, what do we have? You know, which of these genetics is going to be the little bioreactor we need to give them the fuel they need to do these studies correctly? So that's been like the primary interaction here, which is certainly fun. And I, especially in Pennsylvania, when we started out, we brought in, you know, several thousand seed, went from land race, all to the, you know, modern hybrids, all the candies, the cookies, all that, but really tried to build a diverse genetic pool. So if we got to this point, we'd have the, you know, kind of have the ingredients in the kitchen to go do what we need to do. So, yeah.
And I want to make sure to point out that for folks, as I said earlier, that Jabron Washington, the CEO of Ethos Cannabis, actually has been doing interviews on our Planting Seeds podcast series. And he did talk to Dr. Brooke Worcester very specifically about some of the areas in terms of nutrition and health when it comes to cannabis use. So I would always refer back to that interview to go ahead and take a listen. It was a great conversation. Now, also your background in horticulture and cannabis, talk about anything you worked on when it comes to specifically integrated, sustainable, regenerative cultivation practice, because it really comes down to the affiliations of brand narratives that Earth Ethos does, multi-state operations, and any tangible benefits you've had from going sustainable, regenerative, what you've been able to do to, you know, make the most of the land.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a few things that stand out. And one, you know, we have to kind of acknowledge that as Northeast growers, and the East Coast in general, it is a fairly energy intensive process. You know, if I were in the hills of Humboldt, we could certainly take a slightly different approach. But knowing where we're at, you know, climate wise, and some of the challenges to produce consistent, clean, mold free product, that's really where the greenhouse solution is where I put a lot of our energy of trying to cut down on that energy use. Knowing that indoor, you know, we can get to about 40% of the energy consumption of an indoor grow with our greenhouse, but hitting the same light levels year round, same environmental targets, and, you know, in my mind, producing an equally or better quality product because we have that full spectrum sun in there. So a lot of the effort we put in is into, yeah, essentially how do we drive down the energy inputs into that greenhouse. So we've spent a few seasons getting tuned in, you know, tracking the greenhouse, all our systems that fuel it, comparing that to our indoor grows, other indoor grows I work with. Like I said, seeing that we can easily get below 50% the energy consumption. And now we're continuing to drive that. We use Priva automation controls. There are energy tracking tools within there. So now we can get into the world where we start playing with different set points, getting to the nitty gritty with our chiller systems, our boilers, and saying, what can we squeeze out of here? And then go back to the, you know, our yield data, our quality metrics, all that, and say, like, where else can we shave off energy inputs here to drive that? So I'd say that's the main area that we're focused on. And then beyond that, just running a very, very pesticide light. We don't spray after day 21 a flower. Really believe in, you know, trying to build a robust, healthy crop and being as hands-off as possible with any pesticides or any other treatments we do. We don't do a lot of additives. We run a very, very simple, very fundamental-based program. And I think when those things line up, you can get really good results there. So, yeah.
And for the most part, again, with Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Northeast growing, as you said, one of those things I always notice with certain growers have been out there that have tried to go outdoor cultivation only. And the risk you take because of any kind of yeast mold bacteria that could come across, and the kind of issues that have come across where, let's say, the Office of Cannabis Management comes in and they start penalizing companies because of the amount of contamination of bacteria that's out there and to take the risk of it. But so for more importantly, what do you say about for those that, you know, if you try to do outdoor cultivation in the Northeast, I don't know how much of it you do of yourselves with the cultivation areas that you have, but is it more preferable, no matter what, there's just a point where people just need to realize the fact that your best growing is going to be done greenhouse or in somewhere controlled environment?
Yeah, I think you have to just acknowledge that it's farming at that point, and you can't control the weather. You know roughly when that crop's going to be ready to pull, but you see that that, you know, 7 days of rain forecast coming up right before harvest time. And there's really just, you know, there's no amount of intervention that can help you. So I think for outdoor, it's, you know, I being all in, whether it's commercially or for your own personal recreational use, I think doing 100% outdoor is enjoyable. Love doing it. But I think there's a little inherent risk there. But I think attempting to, you know, use the biology, build up the healthiest plant you can all season. And if you see that weather forecast coming that you know is going to spell disaster, I'd rather pull something early and wash it, make some hash rosin out of it, do something different, then try to force it to the end and then find that you're, you know, open up cobwebs of mold at the end there. But I think just focusing on the vigor of the plant, the health of it, selecting genetics that, you know, potentially someone you know has run in that environment or more conducive to those conditions, and then know when it's time to just cut your losses and get the crop down and take what you got out of it.
Yeah. I still think of 10 years ago, Steve, where on Canvas Radio, we actually had Kyle Cushman actually was hosting a program with us, The Grow Show. And I remember we had him talking with Ed Rosenthal, so two OGs in the cultivation space, and the debate of indoor versus sun-grown cannabis. And I still think about the fact that Ed Rosenthal preferred sun-grown if he could have, but like there's the whole mix of like what would work better. But it's like, it's still, I don't know why that still stands out today, but it's just the part of cultivation where it's your preference what works. But obviously what you're doing works really well. The new dispensary now in New Lexington, Ohio, or Perry County, Ohio. One other thing was the significance of the Meigs County grown brand and a history of being around there for Ohio's agricultural heritage. What is it about the Meigs Gold that is so important and being able to go ahead and bring this to the forefront?
Yeah. And, you know, I will admit it's certainly a little bit of an introduction and education to me, but we've got a lot of, you know, a lot of the team down there at the building doing the real work and growing that, those crops. They've, you know, that's where they grew up. That's where they've been, and that's where they grow their cannabis commercially now. So, you know, it's definitely one of those regions, and, you know, I think you've got a few over the U.S., but it's one of those regions that was just known for this is where they grow it in the foothills out here. And, you know, you get those local strains, you get that, you know, almost modern kind of land race where this is what is being cultivated. I think there's, you know, always questions of, you know, is gold one strain? Is it anything that was grown out there? You know, I think there's as much, you know, myth or legend as fact as we can track down. But the reality, there's a lot of cannabis grown out there for a long time. If you were, you know, on tour coming through Ohio, you knew that you wanted some weed from that area. So, you know, there's a legacy there. You can tell it, you know, like I said, speaking with our staff that runs the facility there, you know, it is part of the region. It's part of the heritage. They're proud of that. I know they're really proud to have a brand that has that name on there and is, you know, done in their hometown and with their own hands. So I think, you know, always trying to tap into that, find genetics that are specific to Ohio, to that region, to put under our brand. But yeah, for me, it's as much as anything, it's the people out there, the passion they have for cannabis, and the fact that they've been doing it for multiple generations and giving them a platform out there to keep doing their thing. We give them a few new tools, a little technology, a little extra way to look at it, but mostly, hey, y'all do your thing because you know what you're doing.
And that's nice to have the uniqueness of that. I always think about Humboldt County. Water that we use to sustain, to go ahead and, you know, irrigate the land we use from the Shasta Mountain and take the snow melt that comes off of there and brings it up. Hey, if it works, it's a good marketing process. And also it does add some uniqueness and certain change and something good to the complexity of the plant. Why not go for that? That's really, it's important to go and have that. I know that's pretty smart to go and put that together and be able to go and use that and, you know, bring it back up to the forefront for folks to go and enjoy. So, Steve, I really appreciate you taking time to talk about this. Again, for those who are going to find out, as we wrap things up, again, the website is ethoscannabis.com, ethoscannabis.com. You can find out about the new location in New Lexington, Ohio. You'll find it right up on the front page. Whatever you want to ask about, too, is on the website, there is a section under Learn, and you can find out about the strains that you offer. And I saw the section there, a great reference area about all the strains and all. Tell me about anything in terms of education that you want to go and point out to people when they go to the website.
Yeah. I think, like I said, there's certainly plenty of white papers, you know, that we've worked on in there, but, as the cultivation guy, yeah, I like the strain, you know, We really like to highlight the breeders that we work with, spell out the genetics, what the lineage is, and put as much information on terpene profiles and all that. So, I think that's a great place to look around and learn a little bit more about what we have to offer. I think certainly delve into the education materials. There's a wealth of them in there. The team does a fantastic job of compiling that and really focusing on science-driven materials. So I think whether you're looking for a strain or looking for some information, there's a lot on there to dig into.
And you can find Ethos Cannabis locations in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Ohio, and I'm sure they're going to be expanding very soon. Thank you again, Steve Garner, the Vice President of Cultivation at Ethos Cannabis. Really appreciate you taking time out. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the time. Really enjoyed it.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.